Sex and happiness
both enrich our lives, change our lives in ways that make life worth living. Yet it's surprising how few people can honestly say that they enjoy regular and fulfilling sex or describe themselves and their lives as happy. Want you to make me feel like I'm the only girl in the world, like I'm the only one that you'll ever love. Host Lori Handlers helps you to explore, learn about, and most importantly, have great sex. And in the process, she helps you to experience real intimacy and happiness.
Sex and happiness.
You'll laugh a little, learn a little, and we hope put a smile on your face and a smile in your life. Now here's Lori.
Hi everybody, this is Lori Handlers. And you're listening to Sex and Happiness, a show about your sex and your happiness. And this show is designed to make you sexier and happier. And today is no exception. Today we're going to be talking with my dear friend from years and years ago, Tony Mayo. Tony is an executive coach to owner-operators of established companies. He lives in Reston, Virginia with his wife and three children. And he has written a new book that has to do with forgiveness. And I noticed that Tony posted that recently on some feed that I have or in some email that I got. And I went, oh, Eureka, we now have a topic that we can talk about on my show. Because mostly Tony works with executives and people who he coaches in that way. And he doesn't really always dabble into the relationship aspects or the sex and happiness aspects. But I thought forgiveness is a topic that I want to talk to him about and have you all hear about. So welcome to my show, Tony.
Thank you, Laura. It's great to be talking with you.
Thank you. And you too. So let's talk about your new book about forgiveness. What exactly is the name of it and what spurred you to write it?
Well, the book is The Courage to Be in Community. It talks about compassion, apology, and forgiveness. A particular topic that caught your eye this past week was my blog post where I talked about the five steps to a really solid apology. Of course, the only reason to apologize is to gain forgiveness, to reestablish the relationship. You mentioned that as a business coach, I may not be focused on relationship the way you are. But to me, business is all about the relationships. I talk about that a great deal in those terms with my clients.
I can see that. I mean, isn't everything is relationships? We buy things from people that we like. We don't necessarily buy things. We buy things from people. When we're in business, we're doing relationships with people. And when we're in love or in family or in community, then we're in relationships with people. So it's, I mean, there are a lot of people who prefer their dog. But most people would rather be with people. People are it. So this is
right. And I would say to a large degree, we are our relationships. Now, that's a bold claim. But it's interesting. If you ask people to introduce themselves, what do they say? They say, I'm the husband of, I'm the employer of, I provide help to. We define ourselves by the people we're interacting with. And yet we spend so little conscious, explicit attention to how to do relationships. We just kind of assume that we do.
Most people I know have very little skill in navigating relationships, and they just find their way by stabbing in the dark blindly, I think. And then there are other people like yourself and myself who've been trained in transformation and other things. You've been trained in sales skills. I mean, you have a resume that goes on and on. You've been trained in many things, and I have too. And maybe because your priority and my priority has always been relationships, but some people's priority is software.
Well, I can't claim that. I actually came to it the hard way.
Really?
Sometimes my clients are surprised at some of the personal anecdotes I tell. In fact, horrified by it. And I explain, I didn't become an expert on relationship because I'm a natural. I became an expert because I couldn't get by without learning it. I tried the other way. I tried acting like a robot. If it was going to work, it would have, but it doesn't.
That's great. I'm glad you shared that. I never tried being a robot.
In fact, my next book coming out this summer, Crimes of Cunning, is a fictionalized memoir about my movement from being a very Western MBA capitalist to someone who realized that it's all about the relationships and the people we care about. That's the story I tell in my next book.
Good, Tony. That's great. Thanks for giving us a little glimpse into that. I'll be looking for that because I imagine it'll be awesome. So let's talk about it then. So you said that the book has three aspects. There's compassion.
Community.
Community.
And courage.
Courage.
And courage seems so important for doing the other things. I learned something interesting listening to Brené Brown. I'm sure a lot of your listeners have heard of Brené Brown. She's made quite a splash, and I think she's one of the most important writers and speakers right now. And she pointed out that courage comes from the Latin word for heart, core. It means to act from your core. And isn't that ironic that as humans in society, we need courage just to be who we are, to act sincerely?
There's so many reasons for that. I mean, we've been discouraged from being human. We've been discouraged from relating to our bodies. We've been discouraged from relating to our feelings. We've pretty much only valued our thoughts and our assessments and our judgments and our strategies.
And there's that word, discouraged.
Oh, right. That's great.
And what do we most want to do for our children and our employees? We want to encourage them.
Mm-hmm.
We want to bring out their hearts. But as you said, we do so many things that go the other way. Yeah. Well, when I heard Brené Brown point out the root of courage, I had to look up the roots of bravery because I thought they were the same word. Courage, bravery, that's the same, isn't it? Well, now they are. But it used to be that bravery was meant putting on a show as though you were courageous. It's like finery. It's a disguise. It's a covering. So when we're acting brave, we're acting as opposed to being courageous. So that's the theme of the book, is to explore the things that pull us in one direction or the other and what's available by being courageous and setting a space where other people can be courageous with us. That makes community.
Just so speaks to my life and to what I'm into and up to.
Absolutely.
I know before we started to record the show, I told you about my community being into physical immortality, and we are, and it takes complete courage to stand for living over dying in the face of no agreement. There is no agreement. Everyone says, well, we all have to die. That's the natural order of life. And we're saying, why? Why do we have to? Who says? Mm-hmm. Just because everybody else did. We're completely rogue and out there in that regard. And people think we're crazy. And I'm used to that. People have always thought I was crazy. So I don't care. I imagine I'm in a community with people who all, at some point or other, people thought they were crazy. But we're standing for that. So I love what you just said. It's such an important distinguishing. So we're going to take a little break here. And when we come back, I want to go right into the steps, the five steps to apologize, because I want people to come away with this as a tip. I think people are lousy at apologizing. I'll say this, and then we'll leave people at the edge of their chairs when we take this break. I love, like, I'm saying this sarcastically, when people say, well, I'm sorry for what I might have said or done that made you this or that. And they take no ownership of the thing that I or somebody else is taking issue with. They just kind of make this blanket thing.
It's blame disguised as an apology.
Exactly. Like, it's your fault, it's your stupid feelings, it's your this and your that, and it really just not. It's so ungratifying. So I want to go into the five steps of this because I think this is great material. I want everybody to get that. So if you just tuned in, you're listening to Sex and Happiness. I'm Laurie Handlers, your host, and today I am interviewing Tony Mayo. Tony and I have known each other for, I don't know, years, at least 20 or more. Probably more. And he is an executive coach to established companies, to executives. And he has a really awesome relationship with his wife, which we'll cover that a little bit, and three children. And he lives in Virginia. And he's written this book that has to do with these things, compassion, community, and courage. It's called The Courage to Be in Community, and I'm so glad he wrote it, and that's why we're talking today. So stay tuned. We'll be right back. My question for people right now is, if you're a woman who could use a little zest and zing in your arousal response, or maybe you know women or a woman who could use this, because many women say that their feelings of desire, arousal, and sexual satisfaction don't happen as naturally or as often as they'd like. So I want to tell you about Zestra, because Zestra was developed to meet this much-needed option for women. Zestra Safe and a patented blend of botanical oils and extracts, and it's created to help women have increased sexual sensations. Zestra comes in convenient single-dose personal packets. Each packet keeps the essential arousal oils and extracts free, fresh, and safe from light. And with application of Zestra, it starts to work within 3 to 5 minutes. And at about 10 minutes, there's something called the Zestra Rush. And that can last up to about 45 minutes. The great news is that Zestra can be used as frequently as you like during each sexual experience. Now, I'm somebody who believes that all women deserve sexual satisfaction. That's why I do this show, in case you hadn't noticed. So I believe that men and women deserve sexual satisfaction. So if you're a woman who isn't getting that kind of arousal response that you want, please call 877-426-8047. That's 877-426-8047. And please remember to say you heard about Zestra from Laurie Handlers on the Sex and Happiness Show.
Are you wondering what book to read to jumpstart your life, get the best from relationships, attain the deepest feelings of intimacy? Do you want the best sex along with great happiness? Get your copy of Sex and Happiness, The Tantric Laws of Intimacy by Laurie Handlers right now. You'll learn how to make love in the unknown, take the performance anxiety and reaching a goal out of sex. You'll learn subtle ways of communication and really important practices to empower you when dealing with an intimate partner. You'll let go of blame and struggle. Doesn't this sound great? Sex and Happiness puts the innocence back into sex and gives Tantra the respect it deserves. Take charge of your life, physically, emotionally, and spiritually with Sex and Happiness by Laurie Handlers, only $19.99 paperback and $14.99 ebook. Order your copy today by going to butterflyworkshops.com. That's butterflyworkshops.com for your copy of Sex and Happiness.
Hey, do you want to deepen your intimacy while being on the perfect vacation? I'm talking about an all-inclusive vacation with a nude beach, a prude beach, and an exceptional nightlife and plenty of entertainment. And there's so much more. In really fun classes every day, I will take you deeper and deeper into couples sensuality, into intimacy, and enhanced communication as the week progresses. I also will offer private or semi-private sessions by appointment. I'll offer sessions in sex magic, G-spot stimulation, female ejaculation, and men's ejaculation choice. These are all topics that can be covered. When? October 10th to 17th, 2015. Where? Hedonism 2 Resort in Negril, Jamaica. For more information or to book your room, call Tom's Trips at 800-285-0853. That's 800-285-0853. Please book now. I can't wait to be with you in Jamaica.
We're back with Sex and Happiness, and I'm Laurie Handlers, and I'm interviewing Tony Mayo today. And before we broke, I set us up to talk about insincere, inauthentic, and not true apologies, because Tony's going to talk about 5 steps to apologize. So it's one of my pet peeves when people actually don't take responsibility for what they may have caused in their actions or their conversations. So Tony, talk to us a little bit about apologizing. Why is it so important, and how do you go about doing it?
Well, it's so important because we're imperfect. We don't always do what we intend. We don't always do what we say. And even when we try to do what we intend and what we say, we are not always able to do it. So there are just endless numbers of occurrences where we fall short. And to repair the relationships, to continue to be interacting with the people that matter to us, we've got to find some way to do this. It's just like if the body was unable to heal, we would collect so many tiny wounds in the course of a few days, we couldn't survive. And our relationships won't survive all these tiny wounds unless we learn to apologize. I mean, think of how often you say sorry. You bump into someone on the street, you say sorry. You don't understand what they said, you say sorry. Little apologies are continuous.
That's another one of my pet peeves. Everyone is sorry for everything, and then when it really comes to being sorry, they won't say it.
Right.
Anyway, sorry to interrupt you. Sorry.
Well, first, I could give a short URL for the list in case any of your listeners want to look up the blog post. Shall I give you that?
Sure.
It's tinyccapologize, tiny.cc/apologize, and I'll go right to the list. I misspoke. It's actually 9 steps. You don't have to do all 9 every time. But if you really want to think through what you're up to, this can be handy.
Okay, go ahead.
Step one is recognize. Right? Just notice that you didn't meet your own expectations or you didn't meet the standards of the situation. You've got to notice it before you can do anything. Mm-hmm. And that alertness and that willingness to pay attention is the gateway to so many good things in life. So start by recognizing it. So many people are like bulls in a china shop. The bull doesn't know he's tearing up the china shop. But we need to pay attention when we're being that bull so we can go to the next step. So just pay attention. You know, get the clues from the other people. Be willing to be held accountable so you have an opportunity to rebuild it. You know, one of my little pet peeves is someone arrives very late where you've been waiting for them. And the automatic conversation is, I'm sorry I'm late. And the person who's been waiting says, no problem. My time is not valuable. It didn't affect me. I didn't forego some things to be here or not. That's not true. It's dishonest. So let's recognize that something happened so we can deal with it. Fair enough?
I love it. I always used to say to people, you better have been in a car accident.
I want a good story at least.
Go ahead. What's next?
The next one is what we just talked about, relationship. Now, to realize that what you're dealing with isn't just some situation or an inconvenience. You're thinking about, what does this person mean to me? Now, if you're apologizing to a lover, you want to start with, what's your commitment in that relationship? You want to be comfortable with each other. You want to trust each other. You're announcing that you're willing to do what it takes to rebuild that trust. If it's just someone in a store that you bumped into, well, the relationship is transitory, it's minor. A quick, whoops, I'm sorry, is going to be adequate. But just notice what the relationship is that you're working on. All right, that's the second step. But okay. By the way, I misspoke. There are 9 steps, but we'll get through them quickly.
Okay.
Number 3, responsibility. Yeah. Just notice that it's up to you to do something about it. Don't be sitting around waiting for the other person to ask for an apology or offer forgiveness. It's your life, and you're committed to the relationship. You come up with the response. Something happened. You respond. That's responsibility.
Can you say something about the timing of that? Like, I feel if there's what we'll call the elephant in the room, and the person doesn't, in a timely manner, bring up that they're taking responsibility, I can't listen to them or hear anything that they've said or what they're into or what they're saying. I can't even eat the dinner we're having unless they say, oh, I need to take responsibility for blah, 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 because I'm waiting.
Yeah, I agree with you. And I think that's why so many serious apologies begin with, I'm sorry it took me so long to have this conversation.
Thank you for addressing that right away. Okay, good. What's number 4?
Number 4 is one that's missing from some of the negative examples we've mentioned so far, which is remorse. Make it clear that you regret it, that you did not want it to have the costs that it did, to have the inconveniences that were tied to it. You actually regret it. Have some remorse and regret.
That's really interesting. That's like that's a new one in the, I mean, for me in the equation. I think that's great. Thank you for putting that in.
And I thought of that because so often in sentencing, in criminal trials, the judge will weigh remorse. First off, that's a little odd. I mean, that seems like a bit of a charade. But no, I mean, part of whether I trust you with a lighter sentence is whether you recognize what you did was wrong and you really feel sorry for it. That didn't meet your standard. So that's what the remorse is about. Letting me know what your standards are and that what happened isn't good enough for you.
Okay, that's really great. That is really, really great. You know, of course, I'm thinking of a situation as we're talking.
I think everyone is.
Yeah, I imagine that somebody is because there's, I mean, people really, I mean, we didn't get into the overall concept of who is forgiveness really for, so we could talk about that after, but it would seem to me that people don't really want to harbor grudges. And so they're listening to this because it's probably, everyone probably has someone they're going through these steps thinking about. So, and if you're not, you can. It's fine.
Yeah, feel free to take notes and have that conversation as soon as the show's over.
Yeah, it's great. So what else?
This is, I think, the most overlooked step and the one that can be most uncomfortable, but it's so rich. And that is the repercussions. Find out from the person what the repercussions were for them because of whatever you're apologizing for. What was it like for them? What did you give up? What was it, what was missed out on? What did it cost you? This, particularly in customer service situations, is so powerful. People want to be heard.
Mm-hmm.
And it's something that happens over and again. My customers notice, and I've seen some surveys on this, when a customer comes with a complaint, if you really listen to them, and when they told you what went wrong, you ask them, well, how did that affect you? And they tell you how it affected you. And you ask for more and more. Eventually, they sort of run out of energy about it. And when you ask them what they want you to do, they often say next to nothing. Because being heard and having someone recognize that they were wrong is so powerful. So explore the repercussions. Give the gift of listening.
That's so powerful because it also, it's the opposite of defending.
Exactly. And you, all you do is listen and say, thank you for telling me that.
For me, what you're talking about feels like I haven't been glossed over. I haven't been disregarded, discounted in any way. Like, you're making your ears bigger to hear me and to hear the pain or whatever, the pain and suffering that I've gone through. It's so important in relationships. We could take customer service and just say, I want customer service in my personal relationships.
Right.
You know, it's good. Very, very good. You know what? We're going to take another break here. We're going to get to the other four steps when we come back, because these five have been so rich, and let's give people a little breath and a chance to focus on them a little bit. And I'm going to challenge everyone to consider that there might be somebody out there that you need to take action with in so far the five steps we've gone so far. Like, you might be being right about something and being sticking to your guns, and you might be feeling righteous and whatever about a situation that perhaps could totally turn around if you would start with these five steps, and then we'll come back to the four steps. So while we're on break, see if there is a situation that you can come up with that would really benefit from you apologizing.
You bet. If you're thinking someone else needs to read this so they can apologize to you, you can apologize for thinking that.
That's great. All right. We are on Sex and Happiness here. I'm Laurie Handlers. I'm interviewing Tony Mayo. He's giving us $1 million worth of advice here in 9 tips about apologizing. This is a real bonus if you're open to listening. So we'll be right back.
Wow, sex magic. Laurie Handler's sex magic.
The workshop is really, really amazing. And we were able to create and generate this intense energy in a space of safety and love and abundance. And the magic really happens when she is free to let
amazing.
Go.
That's pretty
cool. That shouldn't be called sex magic. It should be called sex miracle. that she's the strongest facilitator that I've had the experience with, and there was not a moment when I didn't feel safe or not supported. She was with us individually and as a group the entire time, so that allowed me to go deeper than I've ever had.
Where my lover got to come and orgasm over and over and over again. She was loud as anything, and she was like a wild animal, untamed and free.
It just will bring you into such deeper places within yourself so that you're able to share with your partner.
Sex magic, I'm still feeling it. It was beautiful.
The next Sex Magic course is November 1st, 2nd, and 3rd in Phoenix, Arizona.
What an amazing course, if I say so myself. But of course, you've just heard the testimonies. For more information, go to butterflyworkshops.com, click on Workshops, and find out more about Sex Magic. It's magical.
Many times on Sex and Happiness, you've heard Lori talk about emotional release and how important it is. Well, now you can do emotional release in the privacy of your own home. In Lori's CD, Shamanic Release and Lottie Hahn, she creates a safe and sacred space in which you can do the powerful work Lori is known for in her sacred sexuality courses. Lori sets you up with the proper positioning and breathing. Then she guides you through each emotional state to the beat of tribal African rhythms. This CD provides an easy way to do emotional clearing work on a regular basis. Order your copy of Shamanic Release and Lottie Hahn today and watch your relationships walk free of emotional baggage. To order the Shamanic Release and Lottie Hahn CD by Lori Handlers, go to www.butterflyworkshops.com right now.
For weeks now, you've been hearing me talk about the Erotic Coast Film Festival and my film Beyond Dinner winning the award for the best short film. And you've been hearing me talk to all these guests that I met while I was there. And you haven't heard that much about the dinner, although in the show I did with Dr. Ava and Nancy Sutton Pierce, we did talk about what was in my film. I want to let you know that the film is about a ritual dinner that I invented called the Gate dinner. Gate means beyond in Sanskrit. And it's a very sensual 8-course dinner that starts with the forbidden, starts with dessert and leads its way back around to other foods. But all the foods in the dinner are very, very sensual, very beautifully prepared, and the presentation is amazing. And in this dinner, aside from everybody projecting themselves through a meditation that I do to their highest self, having had boundary exercises prior, the men rotate around the table and they feed various goddesses, all the goddesses that are around the table. And even if you come there with a partner, the partner lets go, doesn't take things so personally, lets the partner rotate around and have a sensual experience with each person that's participating. In this case, it would be men having a sensual experience with different women and then working their way back to their original partner. If this piques your curiosity and interest, I want to let you know that these dinners are now available to you wherever you are in the United States. And what you need is 20 people who would like to participate, and you can get in touch with me at sexandhappiness@gmail.com. That's sexandhappiness@gmail.com if you'd like to host a dinner like this in your part of the world. I would love to come to your and offer one of these dinners to you and your friends, and I know my chef would love to come too. Also, Antonio Tiggs, who you've heard on the show as well, would love to come and paint your servers. So your servers are all gold or all silver or what have you. So we have a little entourage that would like to come and make this such a memorable event for you. please get in touch with me if you'd like to hear more about it and talk about the details. That's sexandhappiness@gmail.com.
This is Sex and Happiness. I'm Laurie Handlers, your host, and I'm interviewing Tony Mayo today, who is an executive coach. He is somebody who coaches really high-level business people, and he is giving us tips that he discovered in the business world. But I know that what we talk about on this show is the business of relationships. It's the bottom line of happiness, to be seen, to be heard, to be connected. And we know that sex is really important in that. And think about your most intimate relationships and where you might need to apologize. So we've gone through 5 steps so far, and we're going to get 6, 7, 8, and 9 now. So Tony, please give us some more of your wonderful knowledge.
Well, given your topic, I feel a little bit like the comedian Richard Lewis, that sex always involves apology for me.
Now, why does he say that?
He says it because it's a shtick of being a failure. But I say it because when you're that close with someone, and that kind of vulnerability, it's just natural that there are going to be more things happen that aren't perfect. And we need a way to deal with that other than pulling back.
So true. Really true. I thought you were apologizing for a different reason. I mean, there's so much animosity between women and men on the planet these days that I thought you were saying that as a man, you know, apologizing for wanting to have sex with women. Women make men so wrong for wanting to have sex. And what they don't realize is that men actually express love through their love organ, their penises, and women express love through their breasts and their heart, and the cycle goes like that. And women make men wrong for that, and that's how men do express love. So that's a little tantric factoid.
Wow.
So I was hoping you weren't apologizing for that, and I'm glad to find out that you were apologizing as a shtick. So what's number 6?
Number 6 is repair. You know, find out if there's something you can do to make up for it. That's not always the case. But if there is something you can do or give or create that covers up the deficit, for it makes a person feel whole, you want to offer that. Maybe you can't do it. Maybe they just want more than you can do. But to explore what the repair would be is very, very useful. And then to do what you're willing to do and able to do.
Okay. Now, can you give some examples? I mean, I can think of some examples that I know that have to do with repair. It might be that somebody has to have a shift in their way of their behavior.
Right. Well, that gets to the next step, which is reform.
Oh, okay. So I won't jump the gun.
Yeah. So repair would be you're late for that appointment. And since you are willing to interrogate them or find out what the repercussions were, you find out they're going to miss that last bus and they're going to have to pay for a taxi. Well,
okay.
Pay for the taxi, offer them a ride. See what you can do to help repair the damage that was your fault.
Okay.
And then the one you alluded to, number 7, is reform. So, you know, I noticed something in this conversation that I need a better structure. I need something to go on. For instance, someone who's habitually late could establish the habit of checking their calendar more often, or of leaving sooner, or when they have that thought that there's one more thing they can do, not do that one more thing. Be on time. One thing that I say to my kids is, you know, at first I trained them to say sorry. That was a big section of their lives. But then I wanted them to tell me, well, how is it going to be different next time? You know, you're doing your project at 9 p.m. the day before it's due. That's not working for me. I'll help you to get through the hump this time. I know you're sorry about it. What's going to be different next time? Well, when I get an assignment, I'll discuss it with you. We'll figure out how we can do it in 2 stages. I'll always do my big projects in 3 parts, so I can't possibly have everything at the last moment. Some reform. I say, I don't want my kids to be sorry. I want my kids to be successful. So what's the reform after this apology?
Okay, so that implies like a change in behavior.
Yes.
Or
particularly like some change, some structural difference, something that we can put in place. you know, calling ahead, putting money aside, asking more clearly whether it's a good time for intimacy or conversation or a meal. It could be asking questions. It could be stating your own intentions more clearly.
Okay.
It's setting up some habit, some method that's going to give me confidence of the person who's being apologized to that it'll be different next time.
Mm-hmm. Okay, good. Very good. And what's the next one?
Request forgiveness. Now, this is something else that people are quite reluctant to do because I think it makes them feel like they're in a subordinate role. That they're, you know, if I say request forgiveness, there's a posture that comes to mind, right? On your knees. That's how we request for forgiveness. Most people don't like to be in that posture.
Unless
it's so powerful.
Marriage.
Isn't that interesting? Isn't that interesting?
Or they're getting knighted by the queen.
I like that. So you're doing something that's so important to you, you will bow down to do it. I like that. Mm-hmm. It's valuing the relationship. It's not being a supplicant. I'm going to use that one again, Laurie.
That's great. Of course. I mean, when I think of bowing down, it's people bow down to great masters. You know, in certain cultures, they kiss their feet.
Mm-hmm.
In my culture, people kiss the feet of the goddess. So men train themselves to bow down and kiss my feet and my belly. And that changed my whole life. That little act changed my whole life. It blossomed me into this whole life that I have now. Just that act alone. And I cried because I didn't feel deserving of that. And then my life changed. Like I said, well, you know what? I'm never going back to my other life. So that was based on someone's being on their knees. And so it's a life altering act to request forgiveness and feel like someone's on their knees or propose marriage or get knighted or what have you. So very, very important.
I think instead of it being diminishing to the person kneeling, it's a recognition of something that they hold in high value.
Exactly.
You're exalting the other without diminishing yourself. Wouldn't that be nice?
Yes. Beautiful. What else?
And finally, number 9, which I call renewal, but it's forgiving yourself. It's letting yourself be forgiven for having to apologize, having done the thing or not done the thing that created the apology. Essentially, to apologize to yourself.
That's great, because a lot of people still, even after they apologize and the person accepted the apology, they still act as if there's something out in the relationship and they don't allow the relationship to just take its normal course or ebb and flow. They always have in the back of their mind, like, I did this person wrong. And I don't know if they really, really forgave me. So that's really good. It's really, really good to forgive yourself.
And it's tremendously important. You know, after the Korean War, there was a lot of fear about so-called brainwashing. So people studied how these Western soldiers could be turned by the communist countries to do things against their Americans. And one of the keys they found was, a little bit at a time, they would lure the prisoners of war to do something helpful to the captors or something critical of America. And once they took that little step, they would hammer the captive on, they're now a different person. You're no longer loyal, no longer a good soldier. And once a person changes their self-image from someone who is a good person who did something regrettable into a bad person who does bad things, that's a very dangerous and destructive path. We all make mistakes. We all need to apologize. Do your best with the apology. And then, as you said, it's clean, it's flat, you move on.
Yeah.
That's up to you. It's not dependent on what the other person does. They may not forgive you. They may hold a grudge. That's unfortunate, but it doesn't mean you're not worthy.
Yeah, I hope they don't hold a grudge, because that's the whole, going back to something I said earlier in the show, forgiving, when you break the word down, it's forgiving. And so if I'm forgiving someone, I'm actually, the act of forgiving is for me, so I don't have to hold a grudge, so I don't have to harbor resentment, because any of that stuff in my body is going to take its toll. It's going to fester as something else. If I too many grudges or too much festering in there, that's going to cause me dis-ease sometime down the pike. So if I'm giving to someone in receiving their apology, it's really, I'm pardoning them in a real apology, but I'm also letting go of it for myself so I don't have to, so I can move on in my life. And I think it's so critical and so important. And unfortunately, we don't, I mean, I think that it's so crazy. This is like something I would never talk about normally, but I do because I'm so not into religion, but I think that Christ, in the sense of who Christ was as a person, brought forgiveness onto the planet in exactly the way you and I are speaking about now.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think it got played out that way. I don't want to get into a whole political and religious argument here, but I think that the concept of turning the other cheek is not as simple as just that statement. It's all these steps that you have just illuminated for us.
Absolutely. And as I recall, his last words on earth were, "Forgive them, Father."
Right. For they know not. Amazing, amazing content here, Tony. Really great stuff. Before we tell them exactly how to get in touch with you, I want to just bring it into the realm of sex and happiness. So if you're listening to this and you have desires in your life to be sexier and happier, like seriously, these 9 steps are something that you need to incorporate into your life right away. Both with your lover or lovers, with yourself, and with your offspring, your children, and your friends, everybody. And I think that's Tony's bottom line, is about the courage to live in community. These steps are really, really important. Any person that you enter into a sexual relationship with, and any person that is intricately involved in your happiness, that including yourself, starts to become community. And these steps to apology are so vital and so important. Tony, tell us how people can get in touch with you.
My website is tonymayo.com, TonyMayo.com. You'll find the links there to read a lot of my articles, including this one, as well as my podcast and a regular newsletter that you can subscribe to for free.
Okay, good. And the name of the book again that we just discussed and where people can get it?
It's The Courage to Be in Community. It's available on an audio on iTunes and Audible. It's also hardcover, softcover, and Kindle, wherever books are sold.
Oh, that's awesome. And then your book coming out is going to be called?
Crimes of Cunning.
And it's a novel?
It's my journey from cold and calculating to the warm mensch you know today.
Oh, my goodness. You are a warm mensch, Tony. Thank you so much for being my guest on Sex and Happiness.
This was a blast.
Yeah, it was my pleasure to have you, and I know people got a lot out of this, so thank you so much. Everybody, tune in next time when I will be speaking to another amazing expert on how to have great happiness and, of course, connecting to greater sex. So this is Laurie Handlers signing off for Sex and Happiness.
Thank you for joining us today for Sex and Happiness. To learn more about Lori and her work, please go to butterflyworkshops.com or follow her on Twitter or Facebook. You can send her an email at sexandhappiness@gmail.com. And if you'd like to listen to podcasts of Lori's previous show, Tantra Cafe, please go to tantracafe.com. We'll see you again right here next week for another edition of Sex and Happiness. Want you to make-